by chemistry. Previously on Down and Distance.
Jimmy didn't anoint himself. This came from, obviously, this came from inside the organization. They have basically distanced themselves and moved on from Derrick Rose, even though that they're paying him. I think the organization basically anointed him and alienated everybody else. And it's just like a Tibbs situation last year. He's not, Tibbs knew he was out the door. He knew who his replacement was and when he was coming. So there was no way that he was going to coach hard. It was no way that he was going to coach to try to win the championship. These players feel the same way, man. It's not about Jimmy being the wrong kind of leader. It's about these dudes basically getting shoved out the door, and they see it coming.
You're looking at a dude who just kind of comes in, who to me, everybody's calling a substitute teacher, and kind of sit back and, relax, you know what I mean? Where guys now in the locker room are like, dude.
I ain't got to listen to
you. Airplanes everywhere.
Yeah.
Spitballs.
Yeah. Like, teacher's gone. You know what you used to do when the substitute came in?
The other night, Pete trying to go at Derrick on the court, and Derrick just gave him this look like,
listen, man, you got Pete Myers on your staff. You got Randy Brown on your staff. Jim Boylan.
Who was supposed to be the savior defensively.
I ain't seen no defense.
At all. At all.
It's the future.
Down and Distance. On WGNRadio.com.
They ain't playing any defense. Or what they shoot for the game. Y'all know, anybody know the percentage?
It's over
51%.
That says it right there. On the other end, when we're not stopping and we want to run fast and play fast, that don't combine. That's not a good combination. We made them miss a couple of times, and they got, 14-15 offensive rebounds. So that says it all.
Were you guys just not on the same page tonight as a team, I think?
I really don't know. I mean, look, until I look at film or until we look at film, that's when we'll be able to tell everything. But from the way I look at things or just being out there, we wasn't on the same page. No, I don't think there's any issues with the team. It's just defensively tonight, for a team that had a back-to-back and came in and we tried to forget about their record, come out and play. We just didn't have that urge in us tonight, and it showed.
I just feel like
Does Fred know how to? Let's just say Derrick has dealt with a lot.
He has.
From the physical aspect.
Yeah.
You've talked about it a lot. Like, why in the world is there so much backlash for this kid being injured? Like, why is it?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't Chicago fans as loving to their players as it seems like other fan bases might be? And as appreciative as other fan bases might be, especially with the Chicago Bulls. Now, my statement with that means this is the only time for me that Derrick has shown that he's not working hard or he's not putting the team first. This is the only time where you legitimately can say, you know what, I have an issue with you, D-Rose.
Yeah.
I have an issue.
But
all the other times, it's like, what do you want from this kid?
I will say this, and the next time they play is Christmas, but I want y'all to watch something because I've seen it all season. I don't even think this offense is really designed for Derrick to get off.
Mm.
Even being a point guard. Like, he brings the ball up, he passes it, and then he either stands at the elbow behind the three-point line or stands in the corner. That's exactly what he does. He does nothing else. And so he's a rhythm player. You know, he came out against Detroit and he attacked Reggie Jackson from the jump ball. I don't know if that was a personal thing. I don't know if Hoiberg turned
loose.
There
was some things said at the game up in Detroit.
Yeah, but, you know, he really came out and he did what Jimmy does. He broke the offense. Jimmy breaks the offense every single time. But Derrick, he took 34 shots. He scored 34 points. He played an entire game, if you look at his minutes. That's what I want to see from him. But this offense isn't designed like that. Like,
so, man. Basically, this is amazing. So, the guy, the assistant under Tibbs that Derrick loved,
Ron Adams,
they took him away.
He won a championship.
The head coach that Derrick loved, they took him away. So, everybody that could really motivate, tap into Derrick, get him to play hard, or get him to get over whatever he's going through, has kind of been stripped away from him.
You know what? It wasn't even that, man. He respected them dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody on this roster aside from Jimmy. And Jimmy obviously doesn't. I don't think nobody respects Fred Hoiberg or the coaching staff. You see who's on that staff.
I saw, what was that, the other night, Pete trying to go at Derek on the court. And Derek just gave him this look like,
listen, man, you got Pete Myers on your staff. You got Randy Brown on your staff. You got Jim Boylan.
Who was supposed to be the savior defensively.
I ain't seen no defense.
At all. At all.
So, and then you have a coach who's coming in who didn't light the world on fire at Iowa State. You know, he made the, you know, he made the tournament.
But he traveled to see everybody in the offseason.
Who cares?
That's,
look, man, you talking about, you taking a dude, and we're not talking about like a guy like Billy Donovan in OKC who played in the league, was, well, he wasn't a good player, but
won back-to-back championships
in college. You know, he
coaches the high school kids, the team.
Al Horford, he coached. He still got players in the league, right, basically. You know, and he's had a track record of success. Fred Hoiberg does not. You talking about a dude that coached a bunch of kids who will never play an NBA minute, ever, and they have to do whatever it is that he say because he's the coach. He controls the minutes, scholarships, everything like that. You take that dude with that personality and put him in the midst of a pack of dogs who are used to winning, playing hard, and competing, and you come in with this nice guy stuff, it's not going to work.
So basically what we're saying here, ladies and gentlemen, is that somehow, some way,
it's not good.
Narratives going back at least 3 years have been formed and come out in the media to somehow make the fan base dislike Derrick Rose. Hold on. Have a problem with him being hurt.
And not even a dislike.
Leaks,
Jimmy.
Leaks coming out,
mm-hmm,
saying, oh, Derrick's not practicing. We wanted him to play. He decided not to play. He's in it for himself. So at some point, I'm trying to figure out when they flat out made the decision, we're done with this guy.
With Derrick? After the last injury.
So that was last year.
Yep. It was done. And he came back.
Yeah.
But that was it. It was over.
I'll tell you this, for everything, just listening and sitting here, because sometimes, you know, I get into this position where I get to talk all the time. To listen, to sit down and listen, it doesn't look good.
It's a hot mess.
This is all, and it's not going to end well.
And BC was the first one to say,
what?
Let Derrick go.
And guess what? It's all going to be on Jimmy's shoulders. Because they're putting it on his shoulders.
You know what? I think if you put a different group of guys around him, I think he can handle it. I think right now, you know, he's playing with a bunch of dudes that for 3-4 years looked at him as like little brother.
Yeah, now it's different.
You know what I'm saying? Now it's different. Now
he's got the hot girlfriend.
Right. He got the hot girlfriend. He got all of the money.
He got the hoopty. Now he's got the, you know.
And that's fine.
And he got the organization behind
him. That's fine,
because
that's natural.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I look at my little brother. I'll never forget the first time he beat me in basketball. I was in my 30s.
You
and
let
the dude, he took a lap around the court. And I'm looking at this dude like,
yeah.
But that's how much it meant to him as a little brother. Like, man, I finally.
Yeah. Jimmy's
in that position.
Jimmy's worked hard. Yeah. You know, and he's worked his ass off. And he turned himself into one of the best two-way players in the league. A legitimate offensive threat, and he's growing into this leadership position, but it was forced on him.
Yeah, so it's going to take him some time.
Yeah,
this
whole situation was just handled wrong. It was done wrong.
He wrote about that,
and it you know, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Better transition.
You know what, man?
Should have been a better transition.
Honestly, I'll never forget this moment. My dad, once I got my scholarship to Miami, he told me, he said, son, listen, I'm going to get you a car. You get a scholarship, you get a car. So I said, all right, whatever car you want, because, listen, you know, you're going to be saving the family a lot of money. You have to pay so I said, all right, I want an M3. I got you. Hooked me up. And Patrick got me a nice BMW, the automatic, and gave me the keys. And I've driven a car before, but I never had my own car.
Yeah.
And I never had a car with that much power. So the first time that I got out on one of those back roads, instead of going the speed limit, which I was used to, dude, I let it wide open and got pulled over. I got pulled over. I was going 100 and something, got pulled over, and the cop said, what are you doing? I said, honestly, sir, I know I was wrong, right? But I have never had a car. I've never driven a car this fast before. So I just went all out. Now that I know, I know to slow down. I'm sorry. You can give me a ticket. I'm just letting you know where I'm at. That's where I look at where Jimmy is now. It's like this is all new to him. And you know what? I praise him because I don't know if I could just bet on myself because there's so much stuff that goes on. Like, I'm always like, listen, how much are you going to give me now? And I can get this if I a little bit late. You know what? Why don't you give me that? Because if I get that first money, I'm good. I don't have to worry about nothing. He bet on himself.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have done that.
That $4 million he wanted turned into 48 more.
That's unbelievable.
You know what I'm saying?
Say what you want to say. You can build around Jimmy. I don't know if I trust the guys that are the architects.
Can I say something? Can I say?
I'm just going to flat out
say. That's it.
This will be the fourth time.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to build a supposed championship basketball team around a player? Nah.
Can I say something?
I've seen enough.
After this, you know, after this whole Jimmy backlash thing, I'm officially done with Bulls fans. Like, officially done. I think we have, now, I'm convinced we have the least intelligent fan base in the entire NBA. Because you got mad at Derrick Rose for something that was beyond his control. And now you're mad at the best player who gives you the most effort every single night, plays hard on both sides of the floor. And now you're mad at him for speaking his mind about a coach that you can't even bring yourself to admit sucks. Period.
That you handpicked.
You handpicked
this
dude. While
you had the best coach in the league.
You asked for this. You convinced yourself that, you know what, this is going to be another Steve Kerr situation. Hoiberg is going to come in here and he's going to turn this thing around and we're going to run straight past LeBron to the championship.
Nope.
You convinced yourself that. You told yourself that. You made yourself believe that. And now that you see that it's not happening, how you going to get mad at a dude that is putting that uniform every single night and playing the way that we want our Chicago basketball players to play?
True.
Forget what he said out of his mouth. Look at what he's doing on the court. That should matter more than anything. It does not matter if nobody else in that locker room follows him. Everybody in that locker room is replaceable. Period. You can bring 10 other guys in there. You can run them all out. Doesn't matter. That dude right there is giving you everything he got night in and night out. And if you can't respect that and you still got an attitude with the dude, you're dumb. Period. Dumb with Bulls fans, man.
I'm done.
Hey. Look. I disagree.
I know you do.
We disagree with the whole Jimmy thing.
It's all good, man.
I know you do.
From the standpoint, because I look at it from being as a leader, I just know it's just certain things you don't do. It's time. Look, bro, I tell you all the time, right? It's certain things I want to do, I've wanted to do in this city.
You can't.
But because of who my pops was, I had to bite my tongue.
But Sean,
I had to take a step back. It's things I want to tweet.
Let me say this.
And put out on Facebook. I can't.
I know you can't. But let me say this.
That's a part of leadership.
Let me
say
this.
So every time you feel something like, I want to get this off.
Okay, but I get it.
The leadership issue is this.
But hold up.
Them dudes, not because they don't like him. They're not going to follow him because they don't see him like that.
Okay. But I get both of your sides. But you tell me if I'm wrong, though. I don't know Jimmy's whole background, but from just certain things that I've heard, like
his strength is his weakness.
He's feeling,
it is with most of us.
He's feeling himself a little bit.
I know he's feeling himself, but has he always had somebody? What was his upbringing? Did he always have? I mean, did he have to work for everything that he got? Did he have somebody there to kind of push him that direction?
You said that. You tell me. How this reminds me of Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge.
How?
And LaMarcus Aldridge was troubled. Brandon Roy got hurt. He was the best player. And you start to see Portland try to transition to L.A. as he was getting better. And it was an article, I believe, in ESPN that talked about LaMarcus Aldridge saying how he doesn't trust anybody and how he feels like now he feels like he has to step up. And Brandon Roy kept trying to come back, kept trying to be that guy, but his body just failed him. And it wasn't his fault, you know, but there was a little friction there that the article talked about. And it's like, man, I guess Brandon Roy, who was the leader at that time, but even he had veteran leadership around him as he was coming up and becoming the best player. It's hard, man. Look, the truth of the matter is Derek is going to have to give it up, give the scepter up, but it's hard to give it up. That's not easy to give up the scepter, especially when you believe that you can get back to being that guy.
Then show it.
And that's the only problem. But that's go ball out.
You know what
go
I'm saying?
Go ball out. And if you fall, we understand.
Ain't nobody got a problem
and
with that.
Nobody has a problem. Go ball out. If you fall or you're a little short, we understand. We know why.
Here's why I'm not as hard on Jimmy. Because I was the same way. I came out of nowhere, fam. Like, nowhere. I went up against heavyweights. I went up against dudes that had been in the game way longer than me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I had to grind and scratch and claw and get for everything. Yeah. And once I got to a certain level, yeah, I was feeling myself a little bit. And I'll let you know it. And that got me branded as a jerk and an a-hole and all that and everything like that. And I learned because I had never been in that position before. And I learned and I've scaled it back. And like you said something very important. Wisdom. As I progressed and as I learned and as I talked to other people, I gained more wisdom. And I toned my, and I started looking at myself and I toned myself down. And now I'm a better person now than I was 5 or 6 years ago. But on the come up, fam, when you on the come up,
yeah.
And when you know that you grinding and you know you see yourself taking steps and you see yourself progressing, it's natural for everybody to feel themselves. It's absolutely yeah. natural. So I don't hold that against him. I don't hold that against him for poking his chest out a little bit. He's going to learn. He's only 25. The 25-year-old Jimmy won't be the same Jimmy at 28.
I agree. Because Joe spoke out against the team when he was a rookie.
Exactly. So I think this is a lot of overreaction to somebody who is really and truly trying to assert himself, who knows he's worked hard, who knows he's earned the right to have a voice and say something. He may not have handled it the right way, but he has put in the work and the time and the results have shown on the court to where you at least got to respect what it is that he's saying, whether you like it or not. And you also have to never forget to respect the fact that this dude is giving you everything more than anybody else playing with him. And that's the part where I'm okay with Jimmy because I back him 100%. He's the only one out there giving it. Now, he might go ISO. He might break the offense or whatever. But you know what? He don't walk. He's sprinting up and down the court on both sides. He playing 1 through 5, whatever. He doing whatever it takes to try to help the team win. You got to respect that.
And to be honest, as selfless as Jimmy was coming up while he was getting better, part of that is D not being D. When Jimmy takes over, he becomes the black hole offensively. He holds the ball on the wing. He ISOs. If D was aggressive, like we saw him be aggressive in the playoffs, Jimmy would be forced to take a step back.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Jimmy knows look. He's not just a – he knows this is Chicago.
Yeah.
He knows this is Derrick City. Jimmy knows that.
If Derrick ever put on that cape and go back to doing what he was doing,
it's a wrap.
Jimmy would have to take a step back.
He
knows that.
He would have to be forced
that.
To take a
but
step back.
But Joakim ain't the only one that's been emasculated in this situation.
Hmm.
And you start emasculating folks, they stop caring.
And they've been trying to emasculate that person for like the last 3 years behind the scenes. Leak here, leak there. Tell this person to shut up. It's been real.
Look, I used to be one of the people, man, before I got up and close with it. I used to be one of the people who would defend the organization. Can't. Absolutely can't. Because I've seen it up close and personal. It's unexplainable. And the fingers that get pointed aren't getting pointed in the right direction. That's how I feel about it.
This is a mess that somebody created.
Who's going to clean this up?
They want to use the players to try and clean it up or to use the coach.
Look, man, Kenny Williams still got a job. John Paxson been there 13 years.
Isn't it funny?
Loyalty.
Gar Foreman been there 7.
When it gets hot, I'll just leave it at this. Same organization, same ownership. When things get hot, dudes go get a higher title, but yet still try to keep the same power.
I'm all for loyalty, man, but not to a fault.
Yeah.
I was talking about Chris Brown's new CD. That thing's hot.
So crazy, man.
Down the distance, man. Brian Crawford sitting in with us. Sean Davis, man. This is what we got to do.